Teisha in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Kuf Yudalid. We continue to learn for the safety and the success of all the Chayalim. They should be Ezus Hashem, accomplish everything they have to do, free the Chatufim, Dimheira, in good health, and be Ezus Hashem, they should be Shalom and all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up on Kuf Yudalid Mudalif, about 7 lines down from the top. In some Gemaras, it's at the one dot after the word Teiku, with the words Amar Ravashi. Ravashi tells us the following halacha. Hai Bar Yisrael, there's a Yid, the Zabin Le Ara Leoviko Chavim, A mitzra de bar Yisrael chavre. Here you have a Yid, Reuven, who's selling a field to a guy, and he's selling the field, and of course it's attached to his friend Shimon, who's his next door neighbor. So you're not allowed to do this, misham tinon le. If he does this, we go and put him in shamta. We excommunicate him because, as we'll see in the Gemara, he's basically setting up his friend for trouble by now, instead of him having a nice Jewish person as his neighbor, he's going to have a difficult person to deal with as his neighbor. So the Gemara asks, my time up? They don't know the answer that I just gave you. The Gemara asks, why? After all, there is no din of bar metzra. Bar metzra is a din, and if you're selling your field, you have to first offer it to your next door neighbor to go and buy. But that's only if you're selling it to another yid. So, name, if you're going to tell me, Mishum Dino de Bar Metzra, because of this din that you're mechuyev to go and sell your field to your next door neighbor before you go and sell it to somebody else. The reasoning behind that is because a person would obviously much rather have a field next to his current field, a house next to his current house, because potentially that's much better for him. So, as long as the prices are equal, you're mechuyev to sell it to him before you go and sell it to somebody else. Of course, the halach is, if the other person is willing to pay more for it, you're allowed to sell it to the other person. But if they're willing to both pay the same price, then you have an obligation to give it to your next door neighbor as a first offering before you sell it to somebody else. But that only applies when you're dealing with Yidden. If you're dealing over here with a non-Jewish person, so then the din of bar mitzvah doesn't apply, as the Gemara tells us. Inam mishum din of bar mitzvah, so amar, we've already learned, zavim le'ovi kochavim, the zavim le'ovi kochavim, lek mishum din of bar mitzvah. When you're dealing with a guy, there is no din of bar mitzvah. The guy doesn't have any obligation to either buy or sell it, and give it first to the next door neighbor. So he's not involved in this din of bar mitzvah, and you are allowed to go and sell it to a non-Jewish person if you wish to do so. Now, what then is the problem over here? Why do we put this guy in Shamta? When Reuven sold it to the guy, why do we put him into Shamta? So Gemara says, Elo de Amrinale, because we say, Arbius li Arya Amitzroy, because the next door neighbor can now say, you have placed a lion next to me, right? As Rashi says, Arvius, you have placed Hirvata, it's as if you put now a dangerous situation, you put a lion next to me, and then instead of having a nice Yiddish next to neighbor, I'm now going to have all sorts of problems, because even if he's not going to do anything that's illegal, he's not going to follow the halachos. So normally there are halachos of Gezel Re'iyah, and there are other problems in halacha in terms of having an next door neighbor be able to see into your house and be able to set up and do certain things next door to you that are only applicable to a Jewish person. But to a guy, they're not applicable. He can do whatever he wants. And therefore, what you have done is essentially potentially damaged me, and that I will not have recourse to go take him to a basin because he's allowed to do that, whereas a Yiddish neighbor would not be allowed to do that. And that's why Mishamtinale, we put him in Shamta. Or it continues and says, however, we put him into Shamta, Mishamtinale, only ad de kabil ale kol unsa de ose mechamose. But we allow him to come out of the Shamta if he accepts upon himself to go and take responsibility for any damage that will occur. So let's say there will be Hezek Ria. There will be damages because the next door neighbor puts up a platform and looks into his house. And now he has no way to rectify that, so he's going to have to maybe build a wall himself. So that cost will be assumed by the original person who sold it to this next door neighbor. And that's the removal of the Shamta because he accepts upon himself all these costs. Tosfos says in the Dibur Masa Ad Makabel, he brings up the Rabbeinu Tam, Dainu Dako Kish Yisrael Rotzet Liten Lo Kimo Shinosin Lo Ha'akum. This whole din is when the Yisrael would be willing to go and pay him the same price as the Akum for purchasing it. So then he should have given it to the Yisrael first. So then, so then he is allowed to take the higher price from the Akum rather than have to go and give it at a lower price to the Yid. And in addition, he doesn't have to go and accept upon himself these responsibilities. That's only if he wants to remove the Shamta, so then he has to go and pay for these potential damages that he has resulted in. Okay, next Nishma. Not lumuch sines chamoro. If you have these tax collectors that inappropriately took his donkey, but they had pity on you, and they give you back another donkey in its place. Now, these donkeys that they have, we're assuming are all stolen. This is like we discussed yesterday. These are inappropriate tax collectors are either taking more than they're allowed to, or they didn't even have permission to do so. They set themselves up as the tax collectors without government authority. So, mistama, all the stuff that they have is ganvid. So when they give you back a donkey, they took your better donkey, right? They took your Cadillac and they gave you back a Chevy. So they're giving you back something, but they're giving you back something that is stolen. So are you allowed to take it or not? So the Mishnah tells us that when they give you back this less stellar chamor, they stole your good chamor, your grade A chamor, and they give you back a, you know, grade C chamor, you're allowed to go and take it. Likewise, not the list in Meskesuso. If armed robbers go and take your garments, the Nusul Ksusacharis, but they give you another garment to put on instead. So Hare Elushlo, you are allowed to keep both of these, even though they're coming from stolen property. Why? Mitnesha Ba'alim Misyashmihem, because the original owners have given up hope of ever getting them back. They didn't think that they would get them back from the tax collector or from these armed robbers, and therefore they have given up hope, there's Yeyush, and now when they give it to you, there's a Shinu Rishus, and therefore you are Konet, and therefore you're allowed to take it. Similarly, the Mishnah tells us, Hamatzim and Anar, if you have a river that is overflowing its banks, and somebody's property is being swept up, so he has something there that is now being taken by the river deluge, O Min HaGayis, or there's a foreign troop there, the troops have come marauding in, and they've taken stuff from people. Though these people have no hopes of getting it back from the river, no hopes of getting it back from the foreign legion, O Min HaListen, where there are armed robbers there, and they have no hopes of getting their item back. And therefore, im nisyashu habalim harei elushlo. You now get it. The river eventually deposits on the land. The French legion leaves over here. The foreign legion leaves. The armed robbers leave it there, and you find their laptop. And we can assume that they've given up hope im nisyashu. If they have in fact given up hope, habalim, the original owners have given up hope. So harei elushlo. Then you're allowed to keep it. And the similar din, v'chein, nechil shel dvorim. Nechil shel dvorim is a beehive. So you basically have a swarm of bees, and you find them. So im nisyashu habalim, if the original owners have given up any hope of getting them back, also, harei elu shelo, they belong to you, you're allowed to keep them. And the Gemara will ask, what's the chiddush over here? Why would we think that the nechil shel dvorim is any different than the first item that we talked about, hamatz ben anohar, or ben agayis, or ben alistin? The Gemara will explain, one is the rice and one is the rabbanim. We'll wait till we get to the Gemara to fully explain it. Then the Mishnah continues and tells us, Amar Yochim Mebroka, Yochim Mebroka tells us the following din, Nanes Isha Okatan, a woman who is not normally capable of giving testimony, or a katan, a child, a man under the age of Bar Mitzvah, boy under the age of Bar Mitzvah, is not normally capable of being a witness. Nevertheless, they both are believed, the woman or the katan are believed, Lomar Mikan Yotzu Nechilzeh, that this swarm of bees came from this area, and therefore they belong to Yankel, who is the owner of that area, and we believe them. So that when somebody comes and says, no, they're mine, we say, no, they belong to Yanko. We believe the woman and the child, and the Gemara will explain again why we believe them. They're not kosher for Eidu, so why do we believe them? And the Gemara will say, because the guy who lives over there is coming and running after those bees to go get his bees back. And then the woman or the child says, yeah, those are his bees. So that supports this circumstantial evidence that this guy is running after his own bees enough so we say, yes, he can keep them. The Gemara will explain this in more detail. Then the Mishnah continues and says, "Umahalich b'sof stechaveiro lahatzilas dechilo," and you're actually allowed to enter into your friend's field, which you normally would be trespassing. You might be damaging things over there. You wouldn't be allowed to, but here to go and save your bees, you're allowed to go into your friend's field. However, v'imhizik, if you damage when you went in there, he has crops that are planted, and you stepped on some of them, and they won't grow. So, in that row of crops that you stepped on, mishali mashizik, you have to go and pay for the damages you did. What you shouldn't do, the Tanakhama says, is, however, avolo yakutz es socho, if the bees all are lit down on a branch, you're not allowed to cut that branch off to save all your bees, amanas litinas adam, even though you're going to pay the guy for the damage that you did, you're not allowed to do this lichat chila. You can't go and damage him in order to save yourself, even if you're going to pay him for the damage. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Yishmol, who is benosho, Yochim ben Broka, disagrees. He says, af code says, you're allowed to cut off that branch, and you pay him for it. You damaged him, but you're allowed to do so to save your bees, because otherwise it would be too difficult for you to save them. And as long as you compensated for the damage that you did, had to gomer lechatchila to do this. Okay, that's our Mishnah. Gemara starts off and says, Tana, we learned the following brayso, im notal, if you went and took this donkey from the moches, from the person who incorrectly collected the taxes, so machzir lebalim harishonim. It says you have to go and return it to the original owner, to the guy that the tax collector took it from inappropriately. So that seems to go against our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, how do you reconcile our Mishnah with this brisa? Kesavra yeyush kedi lo kani. This brisa holds that just the fact that there was yeyush doesn't effectuate that it belongs to the moches. And therefore, when the moches gives it to you, it is halachically still considered that he wasn't konet with just yeyush kedi. And therefore, you have to give it back to the original owner. That is the Svara that we have in the Gemara. Umeikara be Sura Osvide, because the original Moches didn't get it legally, he got it illegally. He wasn't allowed to go and take it, and therefore it never really left the original Marakama's ownership. That's the first way we understand the Gemara. Vikadiyame, another way to understand the Bryce is as follows. In Balahasir, if this person who acquired it from the Moches has bad feelings about owning something that he knows is illegally gotten, so he technically is the owner, because Yeyush is Koneh, and therefore he really is the owner of this item. But he feels bad that he has stolen property, even though he wasn't the one that stole it, and even though he didn't technically do anything wrong, he feels bad that he has stolen property. So in Bala Hachzer, if he wishes to return it, so then don't give it back to the Moches, Yachzer Liba'olim Rishonim, go give it back to the original owners. That's the right way to do this. My time of why? Because according to this second version, the Ikad Yamre, Yayush Kedi is Kane. So the Moches did acquire it. Now, Mihu, I Amar Yevshi B'mam Mosheino Shalit, but this person who now acquired it from the Moches feels terrible about having stolen property in his possession. He says, I don't want to have anything to do with having such stolen property in my possession. So then, if he wants to go and return it, don't return it to the Moches, go and return it to the original owner. Go give it back to the original owners, not to the Mochsin that took it inappropriately. Mishnah's quoted, it says, Hare Elu Shalo, Mipnei Shabal and Vechule. So when the Moches gave you the donkey, or if the ganav gave you the garment, so even though they were stolen, you're allowed to go and keep them, because we assume that the original owners were misyayesh, and therefore, with yeyush and shinui rishus, you are acquiring it. Now, Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says, Lo shana, we only said this din in the Mishnah, elolistim ovi kochavim. This was only talking about when the ganav, the armed robbers that gave it to you, were goyim. However, avolistim Yisrael, if they were Nebuch, Jewish armed robbers, then lo, then we don't assume that there was Yeyush, because you know what? The original owner is going to say, I'm going to take them to a Jewish court, these are Jewish robbers, I'm going to take them to a Jewish court, and they'll do Erlicha justice, and Savar Lemachar, Nikit Nolei Bedin, I'll be able to go and take him to court and get my item back. So therefore, when it was Jewish robbers, he's not Messiah. I'll take him to a Jewish court, and I know the Jewish court will get me my property back. Whereas by the Goyisha courts, he's not certain that that will ever happen, and therefore he's Messiah if it's a Goyisha robber, but he's not Messiah if it's a Jewish robber. Or questions this and says, Adarabba, the exact opposite. Maskepel Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says to Rav Ashi, opposite is true. Adarabba, if Chom is Tabri, it makes much more sense to say the exact opposite. When it's an armed robber who is a guy, oh, they call him, so I'm going to take him to a Goyish court. You know what? The Goyish courts will be very receptive to me. The Dine Begesi, they go and judge. Rashi says, Begesi means they judge with arrogance and they judge with gevura. Begava ubizroa. They're very arrogant and they're very strong-armed. And if they think that this guy's a ganav, I can convince them that he's a ganav, they're going to judge in my favor. Even though I can't prove it according to a Jewish court's standard of proof that it's mine. I'll give them some evidence, or I'll convince them that he's a bad, terrible guy. Maybe they know he's a bad, terrible guy. And I'll get it back from them, even though in a Jewish court I wouldn't get it back. So therefore, when it's a Goyisha robber, and I'll take him to a Goyisha court, lo miyayish, the person's not going to be miyayish. And therefore, you can't acquire it from the Moches who got it from a Goyish robber, because he never was Messiah-ish. The original Jewish owner was never Messiah-ish. However, when you're dealing over here with a robber that's a Jew, Yisrael, Kivon the Amre, Neymar, Messiah-ish. Since in a Jewish court, you know that they're going to judge it appropriately. And Rashi has two pshatim over here. First one is, all the Jewish court is going to be able to do is say, yeah, we paskin that he owes you the money. Say, v'tenlo. However, they ain't choked in b'maklos, but they don't have the force to be able to force the guy to return it. Okay, so they paskin that this armed robber owes you the money, and he's going to laugh all the way to the bank. He's going to say, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to take it from me? I'm stronger than you. The Jewish courts don't have the power to go and force him to give it back. So therefore, the original owner is going to be Messiah-ish. That's the first pshat in Rashi. Second pshat in Rashi, Loshan Acher, he says, the Amrei Lenigzal. The court's going to tell the Jewish guy, do you have witnesses? Mi Yemar Kedikamres. Who says what you're saying is right? Have Adim, bring us Adim, Shenignevu Mucha, that he in fact stole it from you. And in fact, he doesn't have witnesses. So in the Goyish court, he thinks he's going to be able to go and get them to side with him. But in the Jewish courts, he won't be able to get them to side with him. So therefore, Rav Yosef says, Adarabba, the exact opposite. If it's a Goyish robber, he'll take him to a Goyish court and get it back. So therefore, he's not Messiah-ish. But if it's a Jewish robber, he's going to have to take him to a Jewish court and he won't get his money back. So therefore, he's Messiah-ish. So Gemara says, Eloi Itmar, if Ravashi's statement that Lo Shanu Elolistim over the Kochavim is true, then it must be talking about the Sefer of the Mishnah. A Sefer Itmar. What was the Sefer? Hamatzel. Now, we have the Girsa Minagayis, but we have in the Gemara, we have the Girsa Hamatzel Mino Akum Umina Listim. If a person took something from a guy or armed robbers that they had stolen, and then he took possession of it, so is he allowed to keep it or not? In this Yahshua Balim, so there, if the original owners had given up hope of getting it back, in, then this person who was matzalit from the Akam, or the Gaius, or the Listim, is allowed to keep it. The implication is, Stoma, if there was no known Yeush on the part of the original Morikama, so then lo, then he's not allowed to go and keep it. And here is where Ravashi said that this din was only stated, lo shanu elo obi kochav. That was only if the original robber was a guy. Mishum, the dine begets it, because of the reason that we just brought down from Rav Yosef, that they judge in an arrogant, strong-armed way, and you can convince them that this guy was a ganav, and therefore they'll give it to you, even though you have no real proof. However, I will list them Yisrael. If they were Jewish robbers, you can take them to a Jewish court, so the Jewish court's either not going to have the power to give you the money, they can say, yeah, we posked that you won, but we can't get it from you. Or they're going to say, you have to bring definitive proof. You have to have Edim, and he doesn't have Edim. And therefore, kivan the Amre Meimar, Miyayish. And since he's not going to be able to win in a Jewish court, so therefore he gives up hope. That's where Rav Ashi made his statement on. Now the Gemara says, Tanan Hasam, we learned in a Mishnah, this Mishnah is found in Kalim, and the Mishnah tells us this is dealing with Tum and Tara. And just to give a little background, when a Kli is being formed and made into a Kli, so there are steps along the way where it may not yet be a Kli if you didn't intend it to be a Kli, but it could actually function as a Kli if you wished it to. So for example, you have a hide from an animal. And if you just wanted to use it as a floor mat, so then, okay, it's already finished and it's a floor mat. But if you want to fashion it into shoes, so then it's not considered yet a kli and isn't makabel tumah. So the Mishnah in Kalim tells us, Oro shel bal habayis, if it is the hide that belongs to a private person, to a bal habayis, so then, if he says, I think I'm going to use it as a hide, so, machshava mitamosan, you can make it a finished utensil, which can be makabel tumah by just thinking it. You don't have to do anything to it. Say, yeah, I think I'm done, and therefore it's now a kli, and it can be makabel tumah. However, the shel avdon, if it's a professional tanner that owes this hide, so then, a machshava mitamosan. His machshava that maybe I'll leave it the way it is not enough. Because if somebody comes in and says a day later, I want a pair of shoes, so he's going to turn it into a pair of shoes. He wants it to be a jacket, he'll turn it into a jacket. So therefore, by a professional, the machshava is not enough to make it into a kli. Now, we're not interested in that part. Here's the part that we're interested. It says, if these oros, if these hides are shel gazlan, a gazlan is an person who took them by force. He didn't do it surreptitiously at night. He went over to somebody and he robbed them in broad daylight. That's a gazlan. So if these hides belong to a gazlan, so too over here, the Mishnah tells us, ein machshava mitamosan. So his thinking to say, I'm going to use this as a floor mat, rather than making it into a jacket or a pair of shoes, so that doesn't make it into a kli, his machshava doesn't do anything. Why? Because, as we'll see in a second, the original owner, it was stolen by this robber, thinks he'll be able to get it back from the gazlan. He knows who he is. That's the guy that robbed me. I'll take him to court and I'll get it back. And therefore, he's not miyayish, and the gazlan doesn't own it, and therefore, he can't make a machshava to make it into a kli. However, if it's a shel ganav, if somebody surreptitiously stole it from at night, we don't know who it is. So then, in that situation, he, in fact, owns it because the original owner will be miyayish. Machshava mitamosan, and therefore, the thinking of the ganav, that, well, I think I'm going to use it as a floor mat, that makes it into a kli, and in fact is makabel tumah. That is the opinion of the Tanakama, that a gazlan is not konet because the original owner thinks I'll get it back, whereas the ganav does own it because it's surreptitious, stolen, and we don't know who the ganav is, and the original owner says I'll never get it back. That's the opinion of Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Chilav Advarim. Rabbi Shimon says, Pum Faket, the exact opposite. He says, the gazlan, he's a strong-armed guy. The original owner says, I'm not getting it back from this strong-armed, tough guy. Shel gazlan, therefore, the gazlan is in fact konet, because the original owner gave up hope of getting it back. So machshava mitamosan. So his thoughts about making it into a floor mat rather than making it into a pair of shoes, in fact, turns it into a kli, it's makabel tumah. However, shel ganav, the one who sold it surreptitiously, the original owner thinks, I'll eventually get a detective, we'll find out who it is, and therefore, he doesn't give up hope, and a machshava mitamosan. And therefore, the person, the original owner, still retains ownership of it because Levish alone is Yahshua Balam, because he didn't give up hope of getting it back. Now, Amar Ula says, Machlokes Bistam. This Machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon is only in a situation where we don't know, did or did not the owner have Yeush. However, everybody would agree, the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon, Avo Biyadua, that he in fact had Yeyush, Deviyako, Yeyush Kani. Then if he was Misyayish, so then whether it was a Gazlan, whether it was a Ganav, the original owner was Misyayish. So everyone would agree that Machshavon Mitamoson, that he in fact is Konin, and if he has a Machshava to make it into a Kli, so then it's Mitame. That's the opinion of Ula. Rabba disagrees. Rabba Omar, no, even here, Biyodua, when we know for a fact that the original owner was Misyayish, he says, Nami Machlokis. It's still a Machlokis between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon as to whether it's the Gazlan or the Ganav that is Misyayish. The original owner is Misyayish for a Gazlan or a Ganav. Amalei Abayi Rabba, so Abayi questions Rabba, and he says, what are you arguing with Ula for? Don't argue with Ula. Lo tiflog alei de Ula. Don't argue with Ula. Because, ditnan masnisin kavose. Because, we learned in the following Mishnah that we just read, just like Ula. Because it said, lefi shalom nisya ashu habalim. Because, at the end of that Mishnah, we had said that the reason why Rabbi Shimon says that it's the Ganav and not the Gazlan that we say, there was no Yeish for the Ganav, there's only Yeish for the Gazlan, is because Lefi Shalom Nisyashua Balam. Implication being that Taima Delo Nisyashua Balam. It's only because there was no Yeish. But if in fact there had been Yeish, Avo Nisyashua Balam, sorry, Hari Elu Shalom. Whether it was a Gazlan or a Ganav, Rabbi Shimon would say that you acquired it. So it's exactly like Ula said, and Akashan Rabbah. So what would Rabba say? Amar Le, Rabba would respond, and he says, Anan, I'm talking here, Lefi She'en Yeyush La'Ba'alim Masnin Le. That when it said in the Mishnah, Lefi Shalom Nisyashua Ba'alim, what it really is saying is because there never is going to be full Yeyush on behalf of the Ba'alim. As Rashi points out in this situation, that She'en Yeyush La'Ba'alim, Ein Yeyush and Yeyush, they don't really believe that they're not going to be able to get it back. And as Tosos adds to that, he says, we're not changing the Mishnah around. Ein magia Mishnah. Ella, we're understanding the Mishnah. Ella kach mefarish. Shalom nisyashua balam means belibam, in their hearts, they haven't given up hope, despite the fact that they said we've given up hope. Avilu omnis nisyashu, because they're always thinking they're going to get it back. So therefore, that's how Rabba would understand this Mishnah, and it's not a kash on him, and support of Ula, it could support Rabba as well. Try again. Tonight, we learned in our Mishnah, it said, Notlu Mosin Chamor V'chule. We said, if the Moches took your Chamor and gave you back another Chamor, or armed robbers took your garment and gave you back another garment, you're allowed to go and keep it because we can assume that there was Yeyush from the original Balaam. Now, who does this Mishnah go like? Mani. Who is the author of our Mishnah now that we know the Shita, the Tanakama, and Rabbi Shimon? If you're going to tell me, Irabonon, if you're going to tell me it's the Tanakam over here, well, they hold that the situation is that you're only giving up hope, according to the Tanakama, with a Ganav. Because in the case of a Ganav, we say, we don't know who it is, and we'll never get it back. Well, in the case of a Gazlan, I know it is, and I'm hopeful that I'm going to get it back. So therefore, if you're saying this, our mission should go like the Rabbanon, so it's a Kasha in the case of the Gazlan. I can tell me it's Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, so then the Kasha is the case of the Ganav. Because Rabbi Shimon holds that in the case of the Gazlan, he does acquire it, but in the case of the Ganav, he doesn't acquire it. So either way, Mimarashach, it's either a Kasha that it doesn't fit in accord with the Tanakamo, or it doesn't fit in accord with Rabbi Shimon. It doesn't fit with either of them. So the word says, okay, that works out now, according to Ula. Bishlam Ula, because he says, the Amar Biyadua Kani, he says, Bain, whether it is like the Tanakama, or Bain, whether it's like Rabbi Shimon, they both agree, right? Ula said, Machlok is only Bistam, Avo Biyadua, Diri Akol, Yeyush Kani. Both Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon agree that it's Kona with Yeyush, if it was Yadua that he was giving up hope. So, Hochanami, Biyadua, Diri Akol. So, two over here, it's talking about a case where he definitely said, I'm giving up hope. However, Elul Rabba, according to you, that in the case of the Armah, even Biyodua, that he gave up hope, Nami Machlokif, so then, Lo Rabbanim, Lo Rabbi Shimon, doesn't fit with either one. So the Armah answers, no. What would he say? Belistim Mizuyim, we're talking about armed robbers over here, not regular robbers, but armed robbers, the Rabbi Shimon he. In the case of Rabbi Shimon, he says that if you're dealing with an armed robber, guaranteed that the original owner says, I ain't getting it back from that really tough guy, and therefore, if it's armed robbers, Rabbi Shimon says, you acquire it, the Ganav acquires it because the original owner has automatically given up hope. So he's dealing over here with a Listim Mizuyin case. Where it says, but then that's the same as Gazlan. Ihachi, Hanu Gazlan. How's that any different than a regular strong arm guy who's just not armed? So why would you have to tell me a separate case of Listim Mizuyin? So where it says, in that situation, Tre Gavne Gazlan. There are two types of Gazlans. You have the regular Gazlan and you have the armed robber Gazlan. So the regular moches, who's like a regular robber, so he's not at all embarrassed to go and take something. He's not afraid. I'm going to take it from you. I'm not trying to hide from you. So that is different than the list in Mizuyim, but both of them have the same din. That's why it has to tell it to us twice. And we're going to see this answer again a couple of times in the Gemara. So again, we question Rabba in his argument with Ula. Ula says that the Yadua, Direkom Yeyushkani, and Rabba says, no, the machlokus is even in the case of Yeyush, that is Yadua. So the Gemara says, Toshma, we have the following brisa, Haganov, Viha Gazlun, Viha Anus. If you have somebody that robs surreptitiously, somebody that robs openly, Viha Anus, Rashi explains, when you have the other two present, an Anus is referring to a Chamson, somebody that takes something from you, albeit he puts down the market value of it. So he takes your vase, you're not saying, my vase is not for sale. And he says, I'm taking it anyway, and he puts down $100 for your vase. So that's an Anus, a Chamson. So any of these three, the Ganav, the Gazan, or the Anus that takes your item, and then he's Makdish it. Hekdeshon is considered a valid Hekdesh. In other words, they own it. That's what the Brisa says. And if it's produce, and they make it Truma, Utrumasun Truma. If they turned it into Truma, so then it is halachically Truma. If they gave Trumas and Maisers on it, Umasrasun, Maiser. So they, in fact, own it to make it into Hekdesh, Truma, or Maser. Now, who is the author of this Brisa? It seems to be problematic. It doesn't go like the Tanakhama or Rabbi Shimon. Nani. I Rabban and Kashi Gazan. They hold the Gazan. That's not true. I Rabbi Shimon, Kashi Ganav. He holds the Ganav is not true. So which one is it? This one says both the Ganav and the Gazlan. Aye. So again, Bishlam and Ula works out very well according to Ula, because if you're saying it was a case of we know for a fact that he despaired, the Yom Rabbi Yodua, Kani, so then both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon both would say, Hochanami, Biyodua, Vidirekoli. So that's why the Ganav or Gazlan acquires it over here, the Anus as well, and his Hektish is Hektish, his Truma is Truma, his Meiser is Meiser. But if you're going like Rabba, El, the Rabba the Yom HaBiyadua, Nami Machlokes, that the Machlokes being the Tanakhama, and Rabbi Shimon applies even there, so then, which one is it? Homani, Lo Rabbanim, Lo Rabbi Shimon. It's a problem for a Ganav or a Gazlan. For one of them, it's a problem for each one of them. So we might give the same answer we gave before. Chanami, but list the Mizuyin, Rabbi Shimon. He's talking about list the Mizuyin, and that goes in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. Why does it say it twice? Yachi, Hainu Gazlan. And we'll give the same tariffs, Trey Gavni Gazlan. And that's the teachers, both of the cases. But here we give another answer as well. Vibai is saying, well, there's another opinion here that we can add. Homas Nisa, Rabbi He. Now we're adding a third Tanayic opinion. This opinion is Rabbi. And what does Rabbi say? The Tanya. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi holds. Ganov ki Gazlan. Rabbi has the opinion that there's no difference between a Ganov and a Gazlan, and we turn to Kuf Yudalud Omid Beis, the Kaimalan ki Gazlan, the Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, we hold this is talking about the opinion of Ganov is like a Gazlan, according to Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, this third opinion of Rabbi says there's no difference between a Ganov and a Gazlan, and therefore, that's how we can answer up the question. Okay. Mora now says, Gufa, let's go back to this opinion of Rabbi. Rabbi Omer, Omer Ani, Rabbi says, it's my opinion, I mentioned previously many times, the Marshak, Rosh Shlomo Kluger, brings down that when Rabbi says, Omer Ani, that's basically like, Rabbi, I don't have a source for this, but this is based upon all my Torah learning, this is the right answer. So when Rabbi says, Omer Ani, you got to take it very seriously. So Rabbi Omer, Omer Ani, Ganav Kid Gazlan, I hold that the Ganav is the same din as the Gazlan. Nibaylu, they asked him, Kid Gazlan, the Rabbanon Kamar, Velo Kani, are you saying that a Ganav has the same din as a Gazlan, and you're going according to the Rabbanon, and therefore he doesn't acquire it because the person doesn't give up hope? Or, Oduma, ke Gazlan, the Rabbi Shimon Kamar, Vekani. And he says, it's exactly like Rabbi Shimon says, and he is acquiring it. So when you say a Ganav is like a Gazlan, is it like the Tanakhama, or is it like Rabbi Shimon? So, we've already proven it's like Rabbi Shimon, but now we're going to prove it again. Tashma, not the Mosin, Chamor, Vekule, we quote our Mishnah with the case of the Moches taking the Chamor and giving the inferior Chamor, or the armed robbers taking his garment and giving back an inferior garment. We said, money, who's our Mishnah like? Irabban Kasha Gazan, Irab Shimon, Kasha Ganif. So again, there's a Kasha one way or the other. So the Gemara says again, I Amris Bishlomo Rebbe Kigazon, the Rebbe Shimon Kamar Vikani. If you're saying the Rebbe holds that the Ganav is like the Gazan, and the opinion of Rebbe Shimon is the one that is correct, and therefore there is Yeyush on the part of the Balan, and he acquires it, so then Hamani, so then our Mishnah is Rebbe, he, no problem. I mean, Shumachi Kani, that's why he's Konit. However, Eli Amris Kigazon, the Rabbanon Kamar Velo Kani. But if you're telling me that he says a Ganav is like a Gazan, but according to the opinion of the Rabbanon, and therefore he's not Kani because the original owner doesn't give up hope, so then, Hamani, who's the author of Mishnah? Lo Rabbi, Lo Rabbanon, Lo Rishimon, Lo Rabbi, Lo Rishimon, Lo Rabbanon. It's none of them. So Gemara says, no, The list of Mizuyin, Rabbi Shimon. We're dealing over here again with the list of Mizuyin, it's Rabbi Shimon, and Ni Hachi Hainu Gazlan. So then it is a Gazlan, and it's like Rabbi Shimon. And we give the same answer, Trey Gavni Gazlan. So we can't bring a Raya from our Mishnah because, again, that could be just teaching us Trey Gavni Gazlan. So we'll try again, and we'll eventually prove it. Tashma, bring a Raya from the following Brysa, Haganavi, Agazal, Yanus, the Brysa we just brought down before, Hektation, Hektish, Trumos, and Trumos, Maisos, and Maisos. In fact, they do acquire it, and anything they will Makdish or make it to Trumos, to make the Maisos is good. Now, who's the author of that Brysa? Mani. Irabonon Kashigazan. Irabi Shimon Kashiganav. So again, if we learned it the way we did before, it's a Kasha. Oh. If you say, however, Iamis Bishlomo Ganov Ki Gazlo de Rabbi Shimon Kamar, but if we say that this is the opinion that a Ganov is like a Gazlo, like Rabbi said, and it's in accordance with Rabbi Shimon, so then Mishumachi Kani, therefore there's Yayush, and he acquires it. El Iamis Ganov Ki Gazlo de Rabbanon, so then who acquires it? He doesn't acquire it. Homani. So what it says, again, we're dealing with Belist the Mizuyan, Rabbi Shimon He. So again, there's no answer over here because it could be Rabbi Shimon that's talking about armed robbers. No, Ihachi Hanu Gazan. Then it's the same thing as a Gazan. And the Gemara gives us the same terrence again. Tre Gavne Gazan, two type of Gazlans. But now we finally give the answer. Amli Ravashi Lurabba. Ravashi explains to Rabba Toshma the following brisa. The Masne Rebbe Lurabbi Shimon Berei. We had this previously as well, a couple of times. The Rebbe taught his son Rabbi Shimon. Rami said in the Mishnah a few days ago that if there's a property that the son inherits that has achrayis to it, so originally we assumed that that was karka or a house, so then he would have to pay off his father's debts, including the gezela. So we said, no, Rabbi says it's not only that. Lo davar sheyesh bo achrayis mamish. We're not only talking about if he inherited land or a house where there's achrayis on it, he'd have to pay off his father's debts, such as the gneva. El afilu para v'charish ba. Rabbi had told his son that even if there is a para, a cow that the son inherited from the father, and everybody knows that's the father's cow, and he's plowing with it. Or he inherited a donkey, umechamer achrav. So everybody sees him leading this donkey, and everybody sees him using this donkey that was his father's. So then, in that situation, since this para, or the donkey, the chamar, are well known to be from the father, and people are going to see him walking around using his father's property, so it's going to be a busha to the father. Well, the father stole from that guy, and the children are using his para and his chamar and not paying it back. Terrible thing. So they have to do it. Chayav al-Lahasim make fun of him. So their father shouldn't be embarrassed. Everybody's talking about him being a ganav. Now, the implication is, time of make kvod avien. The only reason they have to return is because of kvod avien. If it wasn't for kvod avien, halak kvod avien, so then, lo, they wouldn't have to return it back. Shmamina, Rebbe Gazlan, the Rebbe Shimon Ka'amar. The Rebbe holds that he's a Gazlan, like the opinion of Rebbe Shimon, that there is a Kenyan over here, the original owners are Misyayish, and that is the opinion, and Shmamina, that is a good raya, and that is the way we hold. Okay. Now we quote the Mishnah again. It said, if there was a swarm of bees, so the original owner has given up of ever getting them back, so then the person that finds them is allowed to keep them. Now why did it say v'chein? My v'chein, the Gemara says. What chiddush is there on the previous situation where if there was a river that overflowed or robbers and somebody acquired it and found that after the French Legion left, after the troops left, so he gets to acquire it. So what's the chiddush over here in terms of yeish? So where says Hachikam, this is the Chiddush. Afilu Nechil Shel Dvarim, which is a Kinyan Dirabanan. The Kinyan Dirabanan who? That you only acquire these bees, Midirabanan. As Rashi points out, this whole idea that you can acquire the bees is a Kinyan Dirabanan. Because the Ein Kan Gezel Elev Nedarki Sholem. On a Dereis level, you can't acquire bees. The Ha'afker Ninhu. Because they fly away. Netanya, we learn in the Gemara in Chulin, Yone Shovach, the Yone Aliyah, the dovecotes and the pigeon in the attic, Ein Behem Mishum Gezel. You technically can't steal them on a derisa level because they're hefker. El Bnei Daki Shalom. But since the person has acquired them, and even though they can fly away at any point in time, so in order that there should be peace amongst people, that they shouldn't be grabbing each other's stuff and saying, well, it's really hefker. So the rabbi said, you are konin. So the Chiddush in our Mishnah is that even though it's dealing with the Nechil Shel Dvarim, which is not yours on a Derais level, it's only a Kinyan Derabanan. So I might have thought, so Kedai Deraminach, Hai Kivon Derabanan Bi'amuhu Dekani, since you only own it on a Derabanan level, so maybe here, Afilu Stoma, Nami Bi'ayish. So then, even Stam, without knowing for certain that the owners were Misyayish, we can assume that they were Misyayish, because all it is within the Derabanan that you own it. The Chiddush is no. Im Nisyashu, if we know that the original owners gave up hope, so then, Im Nisyashu Abalim, and then you acquired it. But if we don't know that the original owners gave up hope. So then, no, then you don't acquire it. We don't say, well, because it's a din the Rabbanu, we'll let you acquire it anyway. That's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. Then we quote the Mishnah again. We have the opinion of Avraham Yochanan ben Broka, Nemenes Ish of a Katav Chule. We had said that under certain circumstances, the woman or a son under the age of Bar Mitzvah are believed to give Eidus. So the Gemara says, Ish of a Katav ben Eidus, they knew. How can they be believed? They're not acceptable witnesses. The Torah says they're not able to give testimony. So Amr Yehuda Mishmuel, Yehuda Mishmuel explains it as follows. Hachem Ayaskin, you know what we're talking about? Kigon Shahayu Ba'alim Miratfin Achareyen. That the original owner is running after them. So now the Isha Vakati Mesichon Leituman and this woman or this boy under the age of Bar Mitzvah are stomp talking and say, oh, look at that scene over there. Yeah, Yanko's running after his bees. Those are Yanko's bees. He's running after them. And they're just stomp talking. They're not testifying. So in this situation, Mikan Yotzu Nichilzeh, when they say, yeah, that's the bee I'm coming from Yanko's property, so now the fact that Yanko's running after it, plus the fact that you have Mesiach Lefitumo, the stomp talking of the woman and the child, not to give testimony, but just stomp talking, that supports the fact that Yanko's running after it, and therefore the Beis Din will go and give it to Yanko. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says, Ey Mesiach Lefitumo, this concept of just stomp there talking, and we accept it as kosher, is only Eloli Eidus Isha Buvad. It's not for our Nechil Shodvarim, seemingly. It's only to free a woman from being an aguna. If somebody comes and testifies that a woman's husband died, if they're Mesiach Lefitumo, we go and believe them, even if they're not giving formal testimony. So this, Ravashi says, it only applies this Mesiach Lefitumo to prevent the woman from becoming an aguna. And the reasoning behind that is because we have the principle, I mentioned this the other day, Isha Dayik Uminsuva. There's no way the woman will go and get married based upon a single witness, even an incorrect single witness, certainly an incorrect single witness, because she knows the terrible consequences if her husband shows up alive and she married somebody else. She can't live with her new husband. She can't live with her old husband. And she's going to lose her kesuba and the children will be mamzerim. It's a terrible, terrible avla. And therefore, there's no way she'll do it unless she's da'ik u'minsi. She'll really check it out. So that's why the rabbis would make up. And it only applies this Mesiach Lefitumo for a woman testimony about her nebuch, her husband, passing away. That's what Ravashi said. Rav says, wait a second, I'm only revealing Ravashi. Below, what about our Mishnah? We have the swarm of bees, Mesiach Lefitumo. And we said that we believe the woman or the young child, the boy under the age of Bar Mitzvah, to say that, yeah, that's Yanko's bees. So Rav says, no. Again, this is different. Shiny Nechil Shodvarim, the king of the Rabbanan Hu. Yes, Ravashi said, in a Daraisa, we only do this Daraisa for a woman in terms of her husband passing away. We accept one witness, even a non-kosher witness. But that's the only case we have that for Daraisa, okay, Mishum Iguna, because of the concerns of Iguna and because of Dayik Uminsva. But by the Rabbanans, we also accept it as well. So therefore, it's not a kash of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about a din the Rabbanan. Where it says, and you're saying, Udaraisa lo, by a case of Daraisa, it's only with the married woman who, with the single witness comes along and says her husband passed away. That's the only exception to the rule. We accept Mesiach Lefitumo. What about the following? One review, Dami Shmuel, Maisa B'Yodimecha, the one says a Maisa Shahoya, with a certain person, Shem Mesiach Lefitumo, he was just stomp talking, not as a testimony, and he was saying, V'Yomer, I remember Zuchrani Kashnitinok when I was a little boy. I remember going to kindergarten. Umukabni Aksefu Shalabim, my father was carrying on his shoulder. Votseyuni, Mibesa Sefer. And then he took me out of school in the middle of the day. Vivshituni Eskutanti. And he took off my clothing and brought me to the mikvah. Vitbiluni Lecho Bitrumal Eru. So I was able to eat truma that night. Oh, Rabbi Chanina, Messiah in Bohachi. And Rabbi Chanina concluded this story by saying, and I remember all, this guy's talking now, he's an adult. He's saying, I remember this was a kid. I remember all my friends would separate from me and stay away from me. And they would call me, they would call me Yochanan, the one who was eating one of the matnos kuna, chala, which was taken off from a dough. In other words, I was a kohen. From these two stories, the fact that my father brought me to the mikvah to be tov with me, and then I would eat truma at night, and for the fact that my friends called me the guy that eats chala, I must have been a kohen. And based upon this testimony, Velu Rebbe Lekuna Alpiv. Rebbe allowed him to be a Kohen based upon this. Now this is a Din Daraisa. So we see that Mesiach Lefitumo even works on a Daraisa. So the Gemara answers, no. When Rebbe said he could go and eat Truma, he was only talking about Betruma the Rabbanon. So again, it's not a Kasha. The Ravashi said, Mesiach Lefitumo is only for the Daraisa. That is true. And the case we accept, Mesiach Lefitumo over here, this is also a Din the Rabbanon. So Gemara says, really? Vakasi daraisa lo? So you're still insisting, the Rav Ashi said that we only set Mesichta Mitumo for the din daraisa of a woman's husband, but for no other daraisas, do we accept it? But wait a second, what about the following? He also, Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said the following halach, Omar. He said over, Rav Chana Kartigna, or others say, Va'amrila, it was Rav Acha Kartigna. It was either Rav Chana or Rav Acha who came from Kartigna, which is the name of a place, Carthage. Mishtai, they said the following. Maisa, the ones who was the Maisa Shahaya, Balufnei Rabbi Shuvan Levi, they came in front of Rabbi Shuvan Levi to adjudicate. The Amrila, others say it was a Maisa Balufnei Rabbi, that the Maisa came in front of Rabbi to adjudicate. And what was the case? Betinok Echad, Shemesiat Levnei Tumo, there was a young child that was speaking Stam, he wasn't coming to testify, and he was just talking, the Amr, and he said, Ani, V'imi, I, my mother, Nebuch, were captured. We were hostages, Rahman al-Litzlan. Nishbinu Leben of the Kochabim. Rahman al-Litzlan, the Hamas of that generation, captured him and his mother. Rahman al-Litzlan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have mercy on the hostages and bring them back healthy immediately. No, this boy said, I never took my eyes off my mother. And I can attest and verify that she, Rahman al-Litzlan, wasn't raped. She wasn't attacked. Because Yotzasi Lishav Maim, if they made me do work to go and draw water, Dati Alimi, I would watch my mother. My mind was on my mother. I didn't let her out of my mind. Look, Odeitim, they made me go gather wood. Dati Alimi, I was watching my mother. My eyes were on my mother. I always had my mother in mind. V'siya Rebbe al Piv Lakuna. And Rebbe said, this woman is not assumed to be assaulted, and she was an Amana, so if she's allowed to go and marry a Kohen, no problem. So you see here, Mesichta Leitumo, we do accept for Din Daraisa to go and say she's not a Zona, that she wasn't assaulted, and she is allowed to marry a Kohen. So here we have an example, Mesichta Leitumo, we do accept for Daraisa. So the Gemara says, no, there's no proof over here that this woman was assaulted, and therefore, Bishvua Hekilu, we're lenient over here in the din of Bishvua, because, as Rashi says, this Sveka Bialmahi, who says that this woman was assaulted? We have no proof that she was assaulted, so therefore, this whole din is only a suffix, so therefore, we accept Mesiach Lefnei Tumo, but it's not a regular din daraisa, and therefore, Ravashi's statement remains correct. Then we quote the Mishnah where we said, Avolo yukil tzesocha v'chule. We said the Tanakhama says, you're not allowed to cut down a branch. If the swarm of bees went to a branch, it's also to cut down the person's branch, even though you're going to pay him back for it. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel, Benosha Yochanan ben Baruch said, you're allowed to cut off the branch of the chachila, albeit you have to go and pay him back. Now, we have three statements in the next brisa that are attributed to Rabbi Shmuel, Benosha Yochanan ben Baruch that similarly say the same thing. Tanya. Rishmol ben Osher Yochanan Baruch Omer. Rishmol was the son of Yochanan Baruch Hu, said the following three things. It's a Tanai based in for the following three things. Tanai based in here, the first one is Shehei Yored L'Sof Sadeh Shechavero V'Kotzei Sochel Shechavero L'Hatzilas Nechilo. Our Mishnah, he said in the Brisa that you have the halachic right to go. It's a Tanai based in that you can go into your friend's yard and go and get back your swarm of bees, and you're allowed to even do this by cutting down a branch. All the bees are on the branch, and you bring it back nice and easy, and even though you're cutting down his branch, you have the right to do so, albeit you'll pay him for it. And you will go and get compensated from the bees. So he'll eventually sell the bees. The bees will sell them for $100, and he'll give you the $10 that he cut down your branch. That was the first Tanai Basin. Similarly, he said, well, Tanai Basin, it's another Tanai Basin. The Basin allows people to do this for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, as we'll see. She Shofich Yeno, Umatzel Es Dushano Shel Chavero. Wine is not worth as much as honey. That's the assumption that we're dealing with over here. And you have a barrel of wine, and he has a barrel of honey, and his barrel of honey gets a hole in it. He's going to lose all his honey. So what do? You pour out your wine, you take the honey from his barrel that's broken and pour it into your barrel, so you save this honey, but at the expense of losing your wine. So it's a Tanai based in that when you do this, he will pay you for your wine. Again, he'll sell his barrel of honey for $100. Your wine was only worth $50, so with $100 that he saved, so he'll give you $50 and he'll keep $50. That's Tanai based in. Number two. Number three, with Tanai based in who is another Tanai based in, Shem Mepharik is eights of, that you have an animal carrying a load of wood, which is not worth that much, and your friend has an animal that has pishtan on it. And you have a choice of keeping your donkey loaded up or his donkey loaded up. Only one of the donkeys can be used. So his donkey no longer can carry it, and he's going to lose all his flax. So you take off the wood, which is less expensive from your donkey. You put the flax on your donkey. You'll sell the flax for $100. The wood was only worth $10, and you'll take the $10 from the flax. And that's also a Tanayim based in. And why were these Tanayim based in set up? Because, as I mentioned before, here we see in the Tzarech, Am Naskin Hinchu Yoshua Yisrael Lisaretz. This is to increase the Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael. People be nice to each other, they'll be able to survive financially much better with these Tanoim in place, and therefore Yoshua set them up as Tanoim of living in Eretz Yisrael, for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and that is the opinion of Yishmael Benosha of Yochim and Broka. He says it in our Mishnah, and he says it in this Brisa for what we reported in our Mishnah as well, two other cases. Next Mishnah. Hamakir Kalov Usvaru Biyaracher. Somebody was robbed, at least that's what we'll see he claims, and now he sees he was robbed, we don't know by who, so Reuven was robbed, and he sees his Svarim in Levi's possession. So he says, hey, those are my Svarim. V'yotzalo shem kineva beer. Now, if there was the public knowledge that he had been robbed, so then in this situation, we make Levi swear how much he purchased those Svarim from. Levi purchased them from the Ganav. He didn't know that. So Levi just has to swear, okay, I paid $100 for these Svarim. So the Mishnah says, Yishavalo lokeach. So this Levi goes and swears, Kama Nosan, how much I paid to the person that I bought it from, whoever that was, the middleman or the robber himself, the Yito. And then he gives the Svarim back to Reuven, and he gets the money that he swears that he paid. So he paid $100 for the Svarim, Reuven will give him $100 to get his own Svarim back. But the Imlav, if we don't know that there was Yotzel Loshem Kineva Be'ir, there is no public knowledge that Reuven was robbed, so then, Lav Kolei Menu, then why do we believe Reuven? He has no proof that those Svarim that Levi now has are his. So, Lav Kol Emenu. We have no reason to say that we should believe Reuven over Levi. Because the Mishnah concludes and says, Shani Omre, because a person could say, you know what? Levi argues, Mecharin Liacher, Reuven sold it to Shimon. And then he's unhappy that he doesn't have his Svarim anymore. Ulekochen Zei Menu. And this other guy purchased it from him. No, I'll get it back. So I really sold it to Shimon, and I'll say that, no, it was stolen from me. So if you have no proof that it was stolen, there's no public knowledge that you were robbed, so then Levi doesn't have to give it back. Gemara starts off and says, Nu, v'chiyotza lo shem kineva b'ir, my happy. So what if there's a rumor going about the town that Reuven had in fact been robbed? Why don't we simply say, Lechush, we should be concerned, Duma zabninu, Reuven really sold it to Shimon. No, Shimon went away. Shimon was going off on a trip. He sold all the Svarim that he bought from Reuven. And now Reuven says, I have charata that I sold it. I'll just say that it was gone for me. And I'll get it back from Levi. So why aren't we concerned about that? So I'm Rehuda, I'm a Rav. So Rehuda said the name of Rav. You know why? Because Kigon Shabob and the other Mesoch Beso. Because Reuven had company come to his house. He was hosting some guests. And in the middle of the night, V'yomar, V'hivkin Balayla, he gets in the middle of the night and he starts screaming, V'yomar, Nigdavu Kelai, somebody stole my Svarim, somebody stole my stuff. And therefore, that's how we say, V'yotzel Hoshem Kineva Be'ir. Where it says, no, what a great plot. He has guests over, and then he makes up this false claim, Koshekein, Ilamotza. He found a great way to get around his selling it. He's making this whole thing up. As Rashi says, Ilamotza, Pirchai, this is a question, Kolomar, Ila Matza Kishamacha Kalov, he sold his Kalim really to Shimon, who then subsequently sold it to Levi. Then now Nisqari, he's upset that he sold his Kalim. Vyoda Shemach Ren Lokeach Liacher, and he knows that Shimon sold it to Levi. No, Ahmad, he gets up when he has guests coming over. The Hifkim, it's Sok Belial, he gets up and screams in the night, I've been robbed. Laham in Divrei Kishiyara. And this way, it looks like he really has been robbed, but it's all a fake. So why aren't we concerned about that? So the Gemara says, Rav Kahana Messiah Bo Mishmei the Rav. Rav Kahana explains in the name of Rav, Kigon Shoisa Machteres Chatura Besoch Beso. Because it wasn't just he got up in the middle of the night and started screaming. There was a tunnel. And therefore, with this tunnel, Ubnei Adam Shalonu Besoch Beso Yatsu from this tunnel. And the people that he was hosting left the house in the middle of the night through this tunnel. V'anburkeros Shalkelim Al Kisveyem. Rashi says, and Bukros is Chavilos, they were carrying stuff out through this tunnel. And therefore, Bakol Omrim, and everybody therefore says, Nignu Kalim Shaploni. Oh, Reuven was really robbed by these people. Where it says, no, okay, so they robbed this Kalim. But Dilma Kalim Habu, they stole this Kalim. Svarim will Habu, but maybe they didn't steal the Svarim. So Amr Ruchia Barabba, Amr Yochanan, Ruchia Barabba, Sidney Rav Yochanan, no, we know they stole the Svarim. Kigon Dika Amre, Nami Svarim. Because the Velt is saying that the Svarim of Reuven was stolen along with the Kalim. The Gemara says, maybe they weren't the same Svarim. Lechosh Duma Zutre, maybe the Ganavim really took small Svarim for Kotarin Riveri, but he's saying that they took his large Svarim. No, he really had stolen his large Svarim, and it wasn't the Ganavim that took them. So why aren't we concerned about that? So I'm Rav Yossi bar Chanina, because the Karmei Sefer Ploni Uploni, because he says it was this Chumash, it was that Rashi, it was that Gemara. No, Viduma Habu Atike V'Kantun Chariti. Maybe that was his old Svarim, and now he really wants to get new Svarim. So he's claiming that these were new Svarim that were sold. So the Gemara says, Amarav, no. Kigon the Amre, because people are saying, Hello, Lukalev Shaploni, Hello, Svar Shaploni. Everybody says, no, those are the utensils, those are the Svarim that Reuven really owned. So therefore, we believe him when there's such a rumor, such a call going out, that Reuven was in fact robbed. And the call is saying that his Svarim, we know those Svarim were the ones that were robbed, and now they're in the possession of Levi, so Levi is entitled to get compensated because Levi didn't steal them, but he has to give him back to Reuven. Now the Gemara says, did Rav really say this? Umi Omar Rav Hochi. After all, if Omar Rav, didn't Rav teach us the following din, that Bar B'Machteres, if a Ganav comes in a tunnel to you at night, so then he knows that if you find him, you're going to try to kill him, and therefore he's allowed to kill you, and therefore he's basically giving up his life, and therefore this is Kamlei B'Derabamine. Bar B'Machteres, V'Natal Kelim, V'Yotza, if the Ganav comes in through a tunnel, and he does steal your kalim, he's technically potter from having to pay for them. The yotza, he's potter. Why? My timer. Because bidmei kinno. Because he knew that you might come to kill him. So therefore, he's technically over kom le midirabamine. He's, so to say, chayiv misa. He was willing to give up his life. So therefore, you don't have to go and pay in that situation. So Gemara says, no. That's only if the Ganoavim came into the house through the tunnel. But in our case, they were invited in to be guests. The Meikara, Mosa Nashi Likola. In the case of the Ganav coming in through the tunnel, he gave up his life to come in through the tunnel. However, here, these guests, Abulhani, came in the Lomasu Nashi Likola. They weren't coming in through a tunnel. They got somehow into the house as honored guests. And now they're leaving through the tunnel. Lo, therefore, that's not a case of Kamlei Midirabamine. So therefore, it's no kasha from Rav saying that normally there would be Kamlei Midirabamine if robbers come in with the tunnel, but there's no Kamlei Midirabamine if they only exit with the tunnel, but they had permission to get in the first place. Finally, we conclude with Amar Rava. Rava tells us, Lo shanu elabala bayis ha'asi limko kelim. This whole din only applies if we know that the original owner was likely to sell his kelim. However, most people don't sell their couches, their chairs, their dining room tables. So if this person was not known to go and sell his stuff, and we turn to Kuf Tesvav Amud Aleph, then lo tzarich li'aduri alei kuli hai. Then we don't go into such great detail in saying that, yes, all of this had to have occurred before we'll say that it is not a geneva. As Rashi says, we don't go into such great detail. The name of Sefer Ploni Ploni, that yeah, it was this Rashi, it was this Chumash, it was this Navi that was stolen. Because if the guy doesn't normally sell his stuff, so then Mistama, if that's what is being claimed, that's what it is. But even though he normally doesn't sell it, maybe here he did sell it because he was destitute and he needed money. He was very poor cash and he needed to get some money. So Rashi says, no. No, we're dealing here where he was a rumor that it was in fact stolen. And therefore, we don't say, well, maybe he sold it because he was in need of money, because that's what the rumor says, that in fact it was stolen. This is a good break point. We'll stop over here, and with this we conclude today's share.